Good morning. Please be seated. Happy Mother's Day on this wonderful day. There are announcements in your bulletin. I only want to bring your attention to one. There are changes to the email address. If you use that form of communication, please check the bulletin for the correct new email addresses. Bruce?
Yes. Thank you, Ron. There's just one thing I wanted to point out in the bulletin proper, and that's in the insert. And just to note that June the 4th, which is a few weeks away yet, will be our communion service, our summer communion service. Following that service, we're trying to get, because it's our 10th anniversary, we want to get a congregational photo. So following that service, we're all going to march out to the parking lot, and we're going to have a camera up on the roof so we can get a group shot. So I've been thinking about how to do that just in a mass. We'll kind of get ourselves all lined up in that shot, and we'll take a serious picture, you know, everybody standing and smiling. And then I thought, because it's our 10th anniversary, we could try doing jazz hands, everybody. So we were 10, so we'll see if there's any other creative ideas we get on that day. But just please, you know, be aware, we're going to take a picture. We just want to get a nice 10th anniversary picture of the congregation, whoever's here that morning, and we'll be able to put that hopefully in our church address book that we're working on down the road. So please keep that in mind. Also, following today's service, I will be having a membership session in the McRae Room. Now, I know many of you may want to take off and get home for whatever you're doing for Mother's Day and that sort of thing. So we are going to have the same thing happening next Sunday after church. So if you need to skedaddle, that's okay. I understand. But we will be doing this again next Sunday. And it's just basically, if you're even curious about, I do a little presentation on the history of Presbyterian Church in Canada, and so it's a bit of information about who we are as Presbyterians, but it's also to introduce the idea of church membership. So please consider that as something to sit in on. 15 minutes is all it'll be. Let's take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship. Jesus says in the Gospel of John that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We light the Christ candle this morning to remind us that Christ is leading us in our worship, that Christ truly is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's gather for our worship.
Our call to worship is found in the bulletin. Let us offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Hallelujah. Thanks be to God.
Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 407.
Thank you.
Scripture says, whoever believes in Christ will not be put to shame. We are confident in this promise, and we come before God with our prayers of adoration, confession, followed with the Lord's Prayer. You know, I know it seems like, at least to me, because I'm the one that says this all the time, but I do feel like I say it a lot, but I think it's very important for us to understand what the purpose of this prayer is for us. It's an opportunity for us to reflect on, particularly the last week since we were here last Sunday, to reflect on how our week has gone. Those moments when maybe we stepped away a little bit from what God has called us to, moments when maybe we said something that we shouldn't have, or maybe something we shouldn't have done, possibly. Jesus is very clear. It's not just our physical actions that are important. It's also what's in our heart. And I think that's probably in this modern day in which we live something that we lose track of very often. Sometimes we can feel a certain thing, and we can feel angry, or we can feel despondent. We need to confess those moments to God. And as I said a number of weeks ago, even our doubt is something that can strengthen us as we confess that to God. And when we're doubting God a little bit, we can tell God about that. So week to week when we come, this is the point, to talk to God, to confess these things to God, and realize and feel and experience His forgiveness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God in Christ, You have shown us the way. You've revealed to us Your truth through Christ, and You've offered us, again through Christ, everlasting life. Help us to keep our eyes always on Him, that we may see Your path more clearly and know Your truth more fully and receive Your life more abundantly. Lord, Your word offers freedom from sin, as we clearly read in Scripture. But we confess at this moment that there are times when we have chosen not to obey Your word, that word of love, that word of caring, that word that goes beyond just me. We maybe have harbored some malice towards friends and enemies, again, thinking about how we might feel about something, and Jesus calls us out on this. It's not just what we do, but how our attitude may be. We may have been deceitful in some of our relationships, Lord. We may have been hurtful in some of our relationships. In fact, we may have been hurt and therefore angry. We may have been insincere in the commitments that we've tried to make. We may have said we're going to do something and we didn't get to it. We may have said something about someone that really is in that category of gossip, but we push it off and say, well, we're just concerned and talking, but we are gossiping, Lord. Help us to always be looking to that everlasting love that You call us to, that You have shown us clearly through the life of Christ, and we can read about through Scripture. Forgive us these moments of sin, these moments when, as that word means, missing the mark. Those times when we have missed that mark that You set for us in Christ. Forgive us those moments, Lord, and lead us to genuine repentance. Lord, repentance is hard because it means to stop doing what we're doing. And we sometimes struggle with that because we continue. So, Lord, we beg You for Your forgiveness, and we beg for Your help to help us along as Your children, to seek out Your pure spiritual milk that we may grow in that joy and understand that salvation through Christ. Lord, we thank You for this moment that we can come before You week to week and renew our relationship with You and get these burdens off of us through Christ. And Lord, in light of all of that, we now come before You and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to read later on in our Scripture readings, particularly in Peter, this claim that, sisters and brothers, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In the name of Jesus, we are all forgiven. Amen. And we have a very special presentation for our anthem. We've got this lovely Motley Crue. I think we'll call you guys that maybe. It's going to sing something for all of our mothers, and we're very happy all the work that's gone into Renata. You got them all whipped into shape, and guys, I heard you rehearsing earlier this morning, and you did a really good job. I'm supporting you down here. I'll be showing the screen, and I'll sing out with you, and thank you very much. Gentlemen, that was a great job, and happy Mother's Day again. We'll join together now in our children's hymn, There is a Redeemer, and we'll have the children come forward after we've sung through this for a time together.
Thank you.
seven of you. I'm counting because I'm going to need some help later on when I'm doing my sermon, so I'll call you up for that. Guess what? We're going to go there. What? Oh, okay, I thought you were going to ask me something. Well, what does that mean, we're going to go there? That's a good question. We're going to go to the world, the picture of the world on the front of it, I guess. What do you think's in there? No, this is the book with a picture of the world on it. What do you think's in there? Different places that we could go. And if I said we're going to go there, what I mean by that? This is not a tough question in one sense. I'm putting it tough in reason. If I said we were going to go there, what's missing? Well, where's there? Right? Where? Walk to the book. Oh, that's a good one. I never thought of that. Go to the book. But what about what's in this book? There's different places all through this book. See? What's that? Yeah, it's a map, isn't it? It's a big map. If I said, I looked at that map and I said, guess what, guys, we're going to go there. Well, it's on that map, but I don't know if that's, it didn't say we're going to go anywhere in particular. Yeah.
So I think I know where we are.
Yeah, we're here, right? Yeah, you found us, that's right. Oh, no, it's pretty small. That's it. You got it. That's good, Isaac. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, down in there. There's Lake Ontario and all those ones there. Yeah, good. Good job, guys. So I'll tell you, the thing is, when sometimes we get things get told to us, not enough information. Not enough information. We have to ask a question or two. So when I said we're going to go there, you had to ask me maybe to think about, well, where does he mean exactly? Where does he mean there is? And it's something that's important, that you should always ask questions when things are presented to you and find out what the true meaning is. You know, one time when I was at that museum with my kids when they were very small, we were looking at some stuff in the museum from Egypt. What kind of things would you think be in a museum from Egypt? Mummies, that's right, yeah. And they had little statues and stuff like that. Yep, carvings, that's right, yeah. Coffins, yep. Yeah, well, the Sphinx or things like that. Well, what they have at the Toronto Museum is they have this big stone called the Rosetta Stone. And the Rosetta Stone has three different languages on it. And the lady that was giving the tour said that this isn't the actual Rosetta Stone. This is a copy of the Rosetta Stone. And I told my daughter that you need to ask every time you're walking around, is this really a mummy, or is this just one they've made to show us what a mummy might look like? In some cases, that's right. They've made it just so we can see what one looks like. You did, eh? Yeah, that's right. They can make the face look like what it would have looked like. That's right. Yeah. But it's important that we ask where things are, why things are the way they are. And what happened with my daughter was, she went back to the museum on a tour one day with her class, and the lady that was doing the guiding said, this is such and such, whatever it was. I think it was dinosaurs, actually. And my daughter said, those are fake dinosaurs. The guide didn't like that too much. I told my kids that they should always ask questions about what's being presented to them, and they did. I had my son one time. I asked him, how do you know the world's round? How do you know the world's round? How do you know that? Adults, how do you know that? Yeah. Well, let me tell you, I told my son one day, I said, I think the world's flat. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, the sun comes up on this side and it goes all the way over and goes down there and we're at the middle and it goes around us and we're flat. And he said, no, it's round. I said, have you seen the round earth with your own eyes? He said, no, I guess I haven't. Do you know anybody that's actually gone in an airplane and flown all the way around in one go to come back and tell you about that? No. We've seen pictures, right? So he went to school that day and told his teacher that the world was flat. And he had a lot of homework. He thanked me all the time. Boys and girls, we're going to read a story later on today from Jesus, and he says this. He's talking to his friends, the disciples. He's talking about a place that he's going to go. And he says, you know the place where I am going. And one of his friends named Thomas said, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know how to get there? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Hard thing to understand, but Jesus, just like I did with that book, he said, I'm going somewhere. And they needed to ask a question. And good to always be asking questions. Always ask questions about what people mean by certain things. Because Jesus will help us in that respect, because he is the way and the truth and the life. And where can we find answers? A lot of the time we can look in the Bible and read about them. Okay? Can we say a little prayer together, boys and girls? It was a tough one this morning, but we'll say a little prayer together. Come on. And you can repeat after me, all right? Dear Jesus, we thank you for your love and always asking questions. Help us to find the answer. That is you. We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. Now remember, when I finish my sermon later, I'm going to need your help again, so I'll call you up to the front. You can help me with something, all right? Let's sing the last verse of our hymn together now, seated. God's word this morning, as we prepare to read from scriptures, we're going to take a moment just now, and I'll give you a second to shuffle around like you do, but get all your Bibles ready, but then we're going to bow our heads. We're going to invite God to open our hearts and minds. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for showing us the way. We thank you for being the way. Lord, we pray as we read scripture this morning that you can calm our minds and hearts, that we can hear your voice spoken through your word. It's a busy day today, Lord, so there's lots that we've been trying to deal with probably on our way to church today, and lots that might be going on at home this afternoon. Help us to put all those things aside for a moment. Help us to focus as best we can and hear your word. Hear your word truly speaking to our hearts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our first reading this morning, our responsive reading, is from Psalm 31, and that's in the Psalters you'll find in your pews. Reading verses 1 to 5 and then 15 and 16. This is a song of lament. And it's a psalm styled called lament. And it's crying out to God. Psalms of lament have a particular structure to them. And I'm not going to go into all that in detail this morning. But just to know that it's one of those psalms. And I said last Sunday, and I say a lot of when I'm speaking in public, especially when I'm using psalms, the Psalms go through all kinds of things about human emotion and expression. And songs of lament often, we'll see, are almost angry with God, feeling disappointed in God, and hoping at the end of the lament that God will truly come through. It's important for us to, I think, one of the major lessons for me that comes out of a song of lament is being honest with God. And that's okay. We should be honest with God. When we're disappointed, when we're doubting, when we're angry, when things aren't going the way we want, it's all right to say that to God. It's all right to say that. But the lesson that comes out of the lament at the end is we can complain and we can express ourselves honestly, but we have a hope that God is going to respond and answer us. So let's read responsively Psalm 31.
Psalm 31, beginning at verse 1. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Into your hand I commit my spirit. Verse 15. My time are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors.
And before you put those down, flip the page over and look at the verse 24, which is that last word of hope. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. So although this psalm is talking about feeling very alone and left alone by God, there's a promise at the very end. Be strong in God. I'm going to leave you to read Acts 7 on your own today. It's the story of Stephen, and we've been following some of the stories through Acts, so I'm not going to read that here in the service this morning, but I do encourage you please to go home and read the story of Stephen. Read a little before and a little after that as well to get the context in what's happening. Stephen, as he's dying at this in this particular story, quotes very much what we've just read in Psalms about, you know, receive my spirit, and forgives the people that are dealing with him. So it's a good story of forgiveness and whatnot, but please read that on your own. Our New Testament reading today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 2, and that's on page 233 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Peter's giving us a real message of hope here, since it demonstrates that the suffering that the people are going through and he's been talking to in the last couple of weeks as we've read from Peter does not signal a rejection by God like we may hear in that lament from the Psalms, but that we're sharing that same suffering that Christ had suffered. Peter also uses some very specific wording throughout this section. Spiritual, you are a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, an elect clan, the royal priesthood, and a holy nation. You are a people for God's possession. And when he gets down to this people for God's possession, he's actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 21. He's reminding them of their connection as being God's people, and that in Christ we are truly fulfilled as God's special elect people. Let's read from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 2. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the cornerstone, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Our gospel reading today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 14, and that's page 108 in the New Testament portion of your Bibles. And this is a very famous scripture reading. Very often, the first part of this is read at funeral services. You know, do not let your hearts be troubled, and the house of God is waiting for you, and so forth and so on. But this is in the context of what's happening here. Jesus is talking before the crucifixion and before the passion story and Easter and all that sort of narrative that we're very, very familiar with. So when he's talking to the disciples, that don't be troubled, don't worry, I'm going somewhere special and you're going to join me one day. They don't know what he's talking about because they think they're just getting things ramped up and started here. And here's Jesus talking about ending it all and coming to an end and going somewhere they don't understand. So it's no wonder they ask the questions that they do. And I think, as tried to get through with the kids this morning, that's something that I think is very key in what's going on in this particular reading. Ask the questions. Try to understand what it is that God is saying to us in our modern times as well. So let's read from John 14, beginning at verse 1. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This is the word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, and as pointed in your bulletin, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer," number 651. Top 10 things a mom would never say. Don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve. I don't have a tissue with me. Just use your sleeve. Yeah, keep that look on your face. It's really cute. Curfew is just a general time to kind of shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison or anything around here. Well, if Tommy's mother says it's okay, that's good enough for me. Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed and walk him every day for the rest of my life, or his. Wait, let me smell that shirt. Yeah, that's good enough for another week. Yeah, let's just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery and welcoming. Yeah, I used to skip school a lot, too. And the number one thing a mother would never say, I agree, you haven't spent enough time playing that video game. Go ahead and stay up another few hours and sit on the couch and play for a while more. You deserve it. A little boy was kneeling beside his bed with his mother and grandmother, softly saying his prayers. Dear God, please bless Mommy and Daddy and all the family, and please give me a good night's sleep. And suddenly he looked up and shouted, oh, and don't forget to give me my bicycle for my birthday. There's no need to shout like that, his mother said. God isn't deaf. No, said the little boy, but Grandma is. Mother's Day. And we've read some scriptures that we're following our lectionary, and they kind of jive and they don't in so many ways. But it is Mother's Day, and we're thinking about the way and the truth and the life today in regards to Jesus' statements. And it's interesting that there is that connection that we read John 14 very often at funerals. And we find that certainly in our experiences and my experiences as well, that many families come together in a funeral situation, and mothers are often the focus of their attention. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And we want to reflect on some of that this morning in regards to Mother's Day and what the role of mother is. So as we continue to move into that, let's just take a moment and bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind will be acceptable before you. And Spirit of God, open all of our hearts and minds this day as we reflect on what it is that Jesus is that way and truth and life, and what it is in light of this particular day that we celebrate Mother's Day. We pray this in Christ's mighty, mighty name. Amen. So Happy Mother's Day is a phrase that we're going to be hearing all day long. And if you've been watching anything on television or reading anything on the newspaper or listening to radio, it's been going on for much more than just today. Probably the last month there's been sales and there's been things that you better get done because it's Mother's Day is coming. I did hear on the news just the other day that next to Christmas, Mother's Day is the biggest marketing day for most retail outlets, because this is when they sell most cards and flowers and chocolates and just general gifts. And if, again, you look at the advertising, you should also buy your mother a ring every year, apparently. So, you know, full of diamonds. You know, if you don't, I mean, you're really not respecting who she is, according to them, anyway. Equally, as I look around, there's lots of articles. CBC had an article. It was this one this year, written on May 10th this year by Selena Mills, a letter to moms for whom Mother's Day is hard. That seems to be sort of the equal airtime that we're getting about how difficult Mother's Day is. Well, that's very true, and there's been another article that I came across a while back too. It was quoting things like, there's far too many people who want to be a mother but can't, so Mother's Day is nothing more than a painful reminder of that. Far too many people who were a mother, but their children died at birth, so Mother's Day is a painful reminder. There's far too many people who had a terrible mother, so Mother's Day is nothing but a painful reminder. And there's far too many people who have lost their mother to death, so again, Mother's Day is a painful reminder. And although that may be true for some, I kind of have a problem with the phrase, there are far too many. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. And when I did the research, and I've done over the last years, and I've talked about it here, to find out, when did Mother's Day start? Like, how did they all get started? It's fairly recent, relatively speaking. It started in 1905 in the States. Just a small little bit of a movement that was taking place, 1908. Took place. Anna Jarvis had held a memorial for her mother in Grafton, West Virginia, and she began a campaign to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday. And her mother had died. So she had lost her mother. So this business about people, well, I've lost somebody, I can't do Mother's Day. The purpose of Mother's Day was that this lady had just lost her mom, and she wanted to remember and honor her mom. And I think in that sense, we've skated off the target so much as far as what Anna Jarvis wanted to do for Mother's Day. She wanted to remember somebody that meant something very much in her life and now wasn't a part of her life. But marketing and businesses and commercial enterprises took over that, and we have devolved, so to speak, to, you know, something much more to the point of where you need to buy a diamond ring for your mother or the mother in your life or whatever every year, because after all, you know, $1,700, $2,000 for a diamond ring. We've all got that, don't we? And if we don't, we're a failure somehow. Like, and then suddenly there's all this pressure built onto it. It's not just honoring somebody who was very special in our lives. It's something much more it becomes. And it becomes a pressure situation. Mother's Day, Father's Day, all of these different things. And, you know, we can get cynical, and as I find I'm getting older, I sound more cynical to myself. When I reflect back, I've been talking like this since I was probably this big. Maybe I've been cynical all my life, I don't know. But it seems to me that it's a good thing that we honor mothers. It seems to me that it's a good thing that we honor fathers. It seems to me it's a good thing that we honor grandparents. We should be honoring each other. It clearly in Scripture tells us, honor one another in Christ. So what is it to be a mother? Well, we could say someone who nurtures and cares. What is it to be a father? We could say someone that provides and protects. But that definition, as we heard last week when Stuart was talking, could be definitions that came from 50 years ago. Our world has changed a little bit, and Stuart made that clear in some of the words that he shared with us about culture and time. Because, again, we get back to, well, you know, what about single moms or single dads? We need to understand the role of mother and father, but mother in particular today. We all have a mother in our life. None of us would be here if we didn't have a mother in our life. Something that we need to never lose sight of. But that's the biological side of it. The other thing about mothers to remember, I think, is that it's important, is the role of mother can get played by any number of people. You know what? As I thought about that particular wording, anybody can fill that role, I thought about this congregation. And you know, I've been dealing with health issues for a long time. Different things have been going on. My back is the most recent, it seems. And you all have been mother for me in so many ways. And I thank you so much for that. And I do honor you as a congregation. It's nice when people come around and say, how are you feeling today? You know, that's what my mom would say. How are you feeling today? Are you okay? We're all being mother to one another when we do that. And that's what God expects of us. We also stumble on when we try to understand the idea of mother when we look at Scripture. And in this politically correct world that we're in, we see Bible translations coming out where it's God the parent. In fact, I think there's a hymn in our hymn book somewhere that talks about God the mother. And I know the church I was doing my student placement in, I picked that hymn one morning because the words were lovely in it and didn't think about it, but there was somebody waiting in the minister's office after the service to complain about that phrase, God the mother. Shouldn't be singing that. It's God the Father. Because Scripture says God the Father. The minister, fortunately, he handled that because he knew that person well. But the idea behind that particular phrasing, and I'm not talking about the politically correct translations that are out there, the idea behind that particular song and that phrasing in that song is to say that God takes on these different aspects. When we define what a mother may be, when we think of a mother sort of as nurturing and caring, our God nurtures and cares for us. Maybe it's more specific, God the parent, we could say, I suppose, more specifically. Where we run into problems, and I'll go back to my opening statements, is when we think of God the parent, God the father, God the mother, we can't disconnect ourselves from that parent role that we may have experienced in our life or in somebody else's life that wasn't positive. So if we had a bad relationship with our father, saying God the Father, it's kind of a tough one, isn't it? Because the only father image I have is the one that I've experienced personally in my life. But God is not limited to that. God goes well beyond that limitation. So if we said a motherly aspect of God mothering us. And if you've had a bad relationship with your mom, or a bad relationship with a mom in your life, you're going to have a hard time trying to understand what it is when we try to talk about the nature of God in that sense. God goes well beyond that. God is that perfect parent. God is that perfect father. The things that we're crying for. You know, on social media this week, I've been posting lots of stuff, little memes they call them, and I've got all these little sayings, and I saw one that I didn't do. Someone had sort of summarized the story of the prodigal son. And they summarized it with a couple of set statements. And the statements were, the son went out and did a bunch of bad stuff. And in the end, he just wanted to come home. So I reposted that and added the line, isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what we all want? We all, inside of us, there's a child in that sense that desires to be held by our mother and by our father. A good mother and a good father in our minds. That when we're feeling afraid, as we read in that psalm this morning, we're feeling alone, what is it we desire? To be embraced and held and told it'll be okay. And told and held and nurtured. That's the God we serve. That's the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ. We're coming home in that respect. To be embraced in that relationship that nurtures us and cares for us and revives us in so many ways. And that's what mothers are for. All of us, as I said, have had a mother. Some of them have been better, some of them not. Some of them have been great. The Bible is very clear to us about honoring that mother in our lives. In Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents. We get that far and kind of stop sometimes, but obey, for that is right. But honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Say that again from Ephesians 6. Honor your father and mother, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Paul's quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting from Exodus 20 in particular. We read in Proverbs about a description of a mother. Proverbs 31. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at times to come. Wow. What a strong mother that would be. Life doesn't look so great down the road, but my mom just laughs at it. Ha! She's a strong woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well at the way to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy. Her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the city gates. Wow, what a lovely description of a mom in so many ways. And an accurate one in that sense, I believe. A mom who cares. I did see a documentary this week on BBC on the Arctic. They were showing a female bear walking along, polar bear, with two cubs. And this big, gruff male bear came along. And it's literally twice the size, they said, on the show of this female bear. And they said, well, you know, sometimes these male polar bears, they'll kill the cubs and, you know, maybe kill the mother, too. And you see this mother bear just coming up to this male. And she wasn't going to, like that description, wouldn't take any guff from this guy. And she actually chased him off, twice the size of her. My mom image is that mother bear with her cubs. Nobody's coming near my kids. Nobody's coming near my kids. You know, that's our God. Not that our moms are God, but that's a description of the God we serve, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says God loves us with an everlasting love, and he's a forceful God. And when we need that hug, and when we're feeling alone, like we read in Psalms, and we need a hug, God is there. How is God there? I already said it. Right here. All of you. You are the hands and arms and feet of God. And we can embrace one another. See, it's why we do these things, not just that we do them. We embrace one another and we support one another and we ask, how you doing today? Not because we do those things, but because we serve a living God in Christ. We serve a living God in Christ who tells us he is the way, the truth, and the life. I've read this before, but I wanted to read it again because I think it's touching to me how we see our mom as we age through our life. At 4 years of age, my mommy can do anything. At 8 years of age, my mom knows a lot, a whole lot. At 12 years of age, my mom doesn't really quite know everything. At 14 years of age, naturally, mom doesn't know that either. At 16 years, mother, she's hopelessly old-fashioned. At 18, that old woman, she's way out of date. At 25, well, she might know a little bit about it. At 35, before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. At 45, I wonder what mom would have thought about that. And at 65, I wish I could talk it over with mom. Don't forget, perhaps behind every happy child and every happy face, there's a mother influencing them. And we're thankful for the mothers that we have in our lives and have had in our lives who've made us who we are. I'm going to close with this one statement. And I say this at funerals. We started out by talking John 14, and I said we'd say it at funerals. I finish funerals like this very often. And I think it's important on Mother's Day, not because it's a funeral, but because of the statement I'm going to make. Every single person in this room, you are who you are because of the mom in your life. If you didn't have your mom, or whoever that mom was for you, you would not be who you are today. You'd be very, very different. And there's a mom hugging somebody over there. I can see her right now. Our moms influence who we are, even after they're no longer physically in our lives. They're still here. They're still here. And they make us who we are. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God of love, bless the mothers of our world, especially those who are actively bringing up their children in training and instruction of your word. They may not be the biological mothers. They may not be the adoptive mothers. They may just be somebody who's being that mother in their life. Thank you for them. Give them wisdom and stamina for this great calling, and let their care be received eagerly and with gratitude. Lord, have compassion on mothers who grieve the loss of their children, whether it's miscarriage, stillbirth, premature death, and care tenderly for those mothers who've been unable to bear children, that they may be comforted in their longing, fulfilled in other blessed mercies. Guide mothers who are making transitions from school to work, from singleness to marriage, from parenting to empty nests, from families to singleness, from work to unemployment maybe. And strengthen all mothers of all ages in their calling that they may be fulfilled with the love and honor of their dear children. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now I need the boys and girls up here for one more time. I need you to stand here, right here in a row. I need you to face me. Stand right there on the floor. That's good. Right by Isaac in a nice line like this. Okay? Got you all there? You ready? I need you to hold some papers for me. Come on up, Sheila. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Very good. We got a good number. I'm going to need you to hold some papers for me, and I need you to wait until I tell you to turn around, okay? So you're going to hold a piece of paper for me? Can you hold that one? Just hold it like that. Right in front. Hold it. Like, I want you to just hold the paper like this up against your chest, like that. Right there. That's good job. Good job. Let's make sure I've got this all done right. You can do the same. That's good job. And you can do that too. Right? Up and close to you, right under your chin. Okay? Right under your, oh, they're all looking to see what it's going to say. All right? When I count to three, you turn around. Ready? And face everybody down here. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Hold them up over your heads now so that everybody can see at the back. Hold them up. Hold them up. Everybody can see. There we go. Good job, guys. Yeah. We love mom. That's what it says. Turn around. Oh, you guys saw it, I guess. You're good. We love mom. Thank you very much, and God bless all the mothers. Let's take a moment now. We'll have our collection. Thanks for your help, guys. Have our collection now. Thanks. You can go back and sit down. Thank you very, very much. Good job. thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you for the mothers who have been in our lives. And we thank you for the many blessings that you give to us every day and every week and every month throughout our lives. Lord, take this, our offering, bless it to your use, and bring the message of your word to this world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. As we come before God in our prayers for others this morning, I'm going to do similar to what we did last week. I'm going to give a time of silence. And when I say silence, I know there's children in the church. Don't worry about that. A little bit of noise that goes on in some background. We're going to have a moment of silence. And if there's any names of anybody in your life, and I know we all have many people on our hearts, say that name nice and loud so we can hear it and we can all center around that. And as God's people, hold that person up together. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, responsibility that you give us from week to week to week to come to you right now at the end of our service as we're considering what you've talked to us throughout this service, as we're considering moving out into the world, moving out into our day. We pause for a moment, Lord, to think of others who've been in our lives. In particular, we're thinking about that this morning. The people in our lives who are in need. Every single person in this room knows somebody who needs a prayer said for them. And so, Lord, we take a couple of minutes now and we, in silence, think of those people, and we take a time to offer a name up to you that we can think about and continue as your people to offer it in Christ's name. Lord, I thank you for the names that have been offered, names that have been spoken out loud, names that have been said inside in our minds and hearts. Lord, I personally thank you this morning for this sense of compassion that's been offered. It's moving, Lord, when we think about it for a minute. These names that have been offered up are people who really need something in their lives, whether it's physical or spiritual, mental or situational. We thank you that we have people in our lives in need, that we can respond, not just because we are responding, but because of why we're responding. We're reflecting the way, the truth, and the life, and the things that we do in these offerings of prayer. So bless these names that have been spoken out loud, and bless the many names that have been said and offered in silence. We thank you, Father, for this time, and we thank you that you call us from week to week to do this. We know you're going to answer. We're going to be strong in our faith and rest in you, trusting that you will respond and answer. We pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. That was very nice. Join together now as we consider going forth into our world to sing our last hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, number 699. Gathered at the exits this morning to hand out flowers to all the ladies here, and we want the boys and girls, if you can, to help with that. So if you want to, you can go now, and you can stand and help at the door, or you can just, as you're getting out yourselves, you can stop and wait, but you can help give flowers out to all the ladies. That'll be wonderful. Thank you. And thank you, ladies, for organizing that. This is our This and That group, I think, has helped with that. We're going to go forth this week and serve in the name of our risen Lord. And as we do, may Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life be with you now and always. And may the Spirit empower you to serve in Christ's name. And may God, our parent, our father, our mother, who raised Christ from the dead, keep you forevermore. Amen.